What shall we listen to? How about, let's see, let me go into my other ones here. Let's see. Carl's favorite song, The Yodel Song by, this is by Allen Ives.
Oh, I'm so happy in the Lord as in He saved my soul. I'll shout it from the mountain top, Christ Jesus made me whole.
I gotta get that back. Let's see, where'd that go? Give me a second. All right. That's what I was looking for, that one. Can't believe I did that! There. Okay, that's the one I want up there for now. All right. Okay. Let's see if there's anything else going on that I need to be concerned about here as I flip through everything. I don't see anything there that I have to be too concerned with. I'm looking at the... Okay, good. The chat on Rumble is going up. The numbers on Rumble going up. Okay, that's good. How about another song here where we let people get used to this, accompany this? I emailed some of our folks to let them know that I was kicked off. I found some of their email addresses. I did send out a notice on Sermon Audio for 2 p.m. that I'd be going live. We got 7 on Sermon Audio right now, so those numbers are all going up. I generally have about 40 to 60 on YouTube, not counting the other things that I broadcast on, but YouTube kicked us off. They're mad at us. So, the way that goes, right? All right, what happened here? Let's see. Excuse me. Here we go. Here's our page. There we go. Here's the live feed through. Oh, this is the Rumble link. Yeah, there it is. There's the Rumble link. Yeah. Make sure you get the like button pushed on this. We got to push those algorithms, okay? That's the name of the game. We're going to talk about those algorithms today a little bit. All right, let's see. One more song here. Let's see. How about Do Right?
From the very start, have purpose in your heart to do what's right and never question why. Never count the cost.
Now, we are going to get started here. OPBC Online, a ministry of Old Paths Baptist Church. The church meets in Northfield, Minnesota, and we are live. And we are live on sermonaudio.com/Pastor Cooley right here at the Old Paths Baptist page. We're live there. We are also live on Rumble. And there are 14 people watching on Rumble. There are 7 people watching there. And I believe on Facebook Live, there are 7 people watching there. So let's try to get those numbers up by sharing those links. Let's get as many people on as we possibly can. YouTube has really thwarted our work here, tried to anyway. But we, nevertheless, we continue to press on. The upward way. New heights we're gaining every day. So we'll just keep moving forward and doing what God wants us to do. But we have to use multiple platforms to add up to the coverage that we get on YouTube. And in sermon audio, I do get quite a bit of coverage. I get, you know, probably 500 or 600 downloads for each sermon. And such. So we do get that. And anyway, so now I have some exciting news for you, and I want you to pray for me about this news that I'm about ready to give you. I want you to pray for us and pray for that wisdom and guidance and direction for us. Okay. But I do believe that the Lord would have me to go and preach in Europe. So I just believe it is the will of God that I go do that for a few weeks and spend some time in Europe and gather some information for things that I'll be using in the future for broadcasts, for Baptist history, for a number of different things. So what I have to do right now is prepare. I'm going to be probably, my guess is it would be sometime in May. If the Lord willed, it would be sometime in May that I would go. I don't have all the details now, but I do plan on preaching in, by the grace of God. There are brethren over there that are friends that have followed our ministry, and sisters in Christ that have followed our ministry for years. And we have a lot of people that listen to us in Europe. Quite a few, actually. Probably, I mean, there's a lot. I'll put it that way. There's just a lot. So because of that, I'm working on passports and all that good stuff and getting ready that I'll be going. So it looks like I'll be preaching in Scotland. I want to preach in Ireland. I want to preach in the UK. I'll probably be doing some preaching somewhere in many of those other places. I do want to visit Italy. I do want to go to the valleys of Piedmont. I do want to go to some of the sites of the Waldensians over there. I do want to go to those places. And I want to use those in the future because I'll be preaching on the Waldenses over the course of the next year or so. So I would like to do that. But I also want to encourage some brethren and sisters in Christ over there that are scattered abroad. Teresa Williams asked me, do you need vaccines to go? Not that I'm aware of. And I do not believe so. That's the case. I don't believe so. So every airport is open, and there is no requirements for vaccinations for any of those places. Okay? So, but you need to pray for us, number one, that the Lord would bless us. And I won't give you all the details about all of that right now. We'll go through some more of those later. Okay? However, I do plan on going over there by the grace of God and preaching. There's brethren and sisters in Christ in many of those countries over there. I'd like to preach on the streets in those countries. I'd like to witness for the Lord over there and preach the gospel over there and encourage the saints over there. So, I do believe that and God will show me whether that's for sure His will. That's exactly what He wants me to do. God will reveal that unto us, but I'm fairly sure that's what the Lord would have us to do. If you would like to give to that, give towards that ministry. Oh, by the way, and when I get there, I'm not going to give you any details or say anything more about a lot of those things for right now. But when I get there, we will be broadcasting live in different places all over all of those countries. In all those areas, I would be broadcasting live. I would be preaching and teaching live in different areas and talk about different things and go through different things and, you know, pray with brethren and preach with the different brothers in Christ that are preaching over there and that preach on the streets. And there's one church in particular that asked me if I would like to come and preach there, and I will go there, and probably to the UK. And if you're in any of those places, we would love to meet with you, pray with you, be an encouragement to you while we're there, and be used of God. Some of this is a scouting mission as well, would be. It would be to see what the Lord would have us do in the future for church planting. That's exactly what some of it would be. So, part of that is that. Now, if you want to give to that, you certainly can. Now, if you do, please mark it that it's for that. So let me know. Otherwise, it just goes to like general giving. And I mean, to be honest with you, whatever comes in, I'll use it for whatever we need it for. But I mean, if it comes in for that, I want to be specific and use it for those needs that we will have, you know, airfare and staying and all that kind of stuff. And Carl would be helping me with much of that. I would be going to Croatia. I would be visiting with Carl and probably staying with him and Mary and spending some time with them and trying to be an encouragement to them as well. And, you know, I want to visit Ross Duncan over there. I want to visit McConnell's farm. But anyway, and a few other places along the way, lots of other places along the way, and lots of other preaching and examples and everything else that God would give us the opportunity to be a part of. So, you know, whatever the Lord allows, amen, that's what we would do. Let's see. And so, oh, good, there's 22 over there on Rumble right now. Hey, say hi on the chat if you can. Some of you are working, I know, but there's 23 on Rumble right now. If you can, say hello and let me know you're on Rumble. I know I got Teresa over there. I got Joe Mack. And, Carl Winters. And, all that good stuff. But, anyway, so I would like to be able to visit those places if the Lord so wills for us to do that. Amen. And so you pray for wisdom and vision and direction for me. And it would be 2 weeks. I would be gone for 2 weeks is what I'm estimating to do. That's about as long as I can go. So anyway, but that is the goal. Good, there's 10 there. So and you know, I fully believe the Lord will provide for that. I do. I believe the Lord will provide for that. The expenses of that trip and everything. I do believe that. And I want to be an encouragement. I want to do something over there. I'm not going there to, you know, per se to see sights. I'm not going for that reason. I will see things along the way. I will see sights. I will be blessed by some of those things as well. I'm not going to act like I'm not going to. I'm there for, you know, for some of the Baptist history and some of the other things that I want to do as well. But I would go over there for a number of different reasons. And I don't know everything that God would do with that. I have no idea. But I sure know I want to be an encouragement to some people over there that, you know, a lot of them live in a cold, dead land. They don't have preachers that are bold, that stand up. They don't have they don't have preachers that they meet with in person to encourage them, that pray with them, that, you know, that are there with them, that spend that time with them. They don't really have that. A lot of brethren over there don't have that. They don't have a lot of brothers to encourage them in the Lord and to strengthen them. And, you know, maybe the Lord will use us to do that. And also, you know, maybe God will use us to encourage to get a pastor over there, you know, for one of them. And who knows, you know, that we raise some men up to go over there and, you know, who knows what God's going to do with that? I have no idea. So we just have to really trust the Lord and see what God's going to do. But we'll see what God does and how God does it. Amen. And how exciting that would be to be a part of that, you know, to see what God would do. So you pray and ask the Lord to give wisdom and guidance and direction, right, for all of that. Good to see there's some people there. Those numbers are good. 23 on there, 10 over there on, that's 33 over there. And what do we have over here for here? We've got 10 over here. So we're getting there. We're getting about those numbers. So you're finding us. If you want to chat with us and find out, you can try to chat on Facebook Live, okay? But anyway, you pray about that preaching, that trip. You pray about that. It would be sometime in May is what I'm guessing. You know, I usually plan a vacation for my family around May, and I'll take them somewhere when I get back for a week. We won't, you know, or however long the Lord leads with that. But it's just, I just didn't have absolute clear direction on all that. And it seems like the Lord is directing me in this way to, you know, look out for others over there. And we'll see what God does with all that. Amen. We'll trust the Lord for what he would do and his vision and wisdom and direction that he gives us for everything like that. All right. So we are going to talk about AI. AI Friday. And, you know, there's some really weird things going on with AI right now. And AI is the building of the beast. Let's look at Revelation chapter 13. That rebellion chapter. Now, chapter number 13. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. I think about that dragon dictation. I think about where AI is going right now. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. We're heading for it. They're building the beast right now, friend. The power to give life unto the image of the beast. Well, aren't we seeing some really strange things right now, huh? I think this right here is one of the most satanic things I have ever heard of. Chatbot. It lets you talk with Jesus and Hitler. Or whoever you want to. It's the AI gold rush. So literally, you enter into this chatbot. They entered into this chatbot a bunch of information. Let's say about Jesus, or the Jesus that they're selling. So they enter in the Jesus that they're selling into that chatbot. And you're literally talking to Jesus. Right? That's literally what's happening. Now you think about that for a moment. It's kind of scary, isn't it? That people literally are going to replace talking to Christ and praying to some visible manifestation. So here's a chatbot talking to Hitler. Getting into the mind of Hitler. And having a discussion with Hitler. But imagine what they're doing in their minds. This is where AI is going. You don't need to pray. If you wonder what God thinks about something, you just type it in to the chatbot. This is this new program by Microsoft. Chatbot GPT. It's an AI bot. To me, it's nothing more than a Ouija board. That's what they're doing with it. It's very dangerous. People are going to get sucked into this stuff. But this week it sparked a viral controversy online over its inclusion of Hitler, his Nazi lieutenants, and other dictators. Here's the app called Historical Figures Chat. Oh, how the devil is going to use that. The devil's going to use that. use that to deceive the masses, to get them doing stuff, to get them distracted from the God of the Bible. So if you just want to ask Jesus questions, but guess what? What information is going in there? Well, the information that's going in there is from Wikipedia. It's from other sources like that. This is the road to replace any prayer and Bible study. That's what this is. This is getting very dangerous. Because Satan controlled is the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And if Satan would distract you, well, he could just control all the evidence. So any bit of the evidence that you have coming into you is going to be dictated by who's ever pulling the reins and entering the information. All leading up to that beast system. That's the goal. Now a new app brings the experience to your phone with help from an artificial intelligent chatbot, allowing users to have text conversation with robots meant to stimulate the perspectives of notable people from history, from Babe Ruth to Adolf Hitler. They ask the questions, are neo-Nazis going to be attracted to this site so they can go and have a dialogue with Hitler? Asked Rabbi Abraham Cooper. The app created by the 25-year-old Amazon software engineer is part of the latest Russian tech to build on top of AI software, such as ChatGPT, an advanced chatbot prototype that burst onto the scene less than two months ago. The more that you and I are detached from people, and the only source of communication we have is like computers, and that type of electronic correspondence, the more dangerous it is for us. And for people in general, tech entrepreneurs and investors are using ChatGPT-based technology called GPT-3 to reimagine peer-to-peer counseling, write letters to investors, and negotiate with cable companies. It's going to do away with personal touch, with personally dealing with people. You won't write any letters anymore. You'll just have chatbots write them for you. You won't personally be connected with people. You'll just have chatbots and other things write them for you. Right? See how dangerous that is, friend? That's literally the direction. That's the direction it's going. To dehumanize everybody, to make robots do what we want them to do. to make robots replacing androids and AI and computer technology to replace people. Replacing people. Building the beast system. Replacing distinctions between people. Making everybody the same. Having your own counselor right there on your phone. Let me give you an example. Oh, you don't like your pastor's counsel? Well, then just type in into the chat bot Charles Spurgeon and ask him questions. You don't like your husband's counsel? Well, just speak into, just talk to somebody else. Put your dead father in there. Ask him questions. Remember what we've seen with that little girl, that little Chinese girl that died, or Korean girl that died, and they stuck her in a simulator, they stuck her, all of her information in a simulator in immersive technology? This is going to merge with immersive technology. What are they building? The beast. They are building a god in their own image. They're making a god in their own image. In man's image. After his own likeness. And nobody will be dead any longer. Because they'll play with the minds of people. And it's just like the witch in Endor. Same as Saul going to the witch of Endor. God says your spouse is dead. When she dies, you bury her in the ground. Your heart is completely broken. You have to grieve over that. Well, listen, we'll give you a chat bot. We'll sell you a chat. Hey, if I was a lost man, I'd be slinging this like I'd be slinging dope. Man, if I was a lost wicked dude, I would be selling these at funeral homes. I'd be selling them in the hospital. I'd be selling them at hospice care. If I was a lost man, I'm telling you, I used to be a salesman. I'd sell them with a Ford if I sold you a truck. Because I wouldn't sell you a Chevy. I'm not that mean. I'd be selling, oh, your spouse just died. Hey, have you ever thought about keeping your spouse alive forever? For $9.99 for $1,000, we can create a chatbot and enter all the information of your spouse into this chatbot, and we can give you this for $1,000 you can have, and you can always speak and get answers from your spouse and talk to your spouse. You never have to accept death. You never have to grieve properly. You never have to live life properly and understand there is life, there is death, there is consequences for sin. Oh, you don't want to talk, you don't want Jesus to speak to you through the Bible? You want to ask Jesus a question? Well, don't go to the all-sufficiency of Scripture, right? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. No, don't go to the Scriptures, the all-sufficiency of Scriptures. Go to the AI chatbot. After all, it's based on the oldest and best manuscripts. So they'll ask Jesus questions instead of searching the Scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me, said Jesus. Do you see where this is going? Now, Pastor, you sound like you're very conspiratorial. I am. Oh, I am. And it's not even a theory. I'm a conspiratorial, conspiracy. I believe conspiracy so much that you would call me a conspiracy realist. Not a theorist, but a conspiracy realist. Like, I absolutely believe there's a conspiracy. I absolutely believe that the Antichrist wants to replace God. I absolutely believe that he's going to sit in the temple of God saying he is God. I absolutely believe that. And I absolutely believe right now that they're building the beast. That's the goal. They're building the beast. That's what they're doing. They are absolutely building the beast for a reason, for a purpose. And it's true. And that's not a conspiracy theory. That's a conspiracy fact. Oh, you want to talk to Elijah the prophet? Let's just turn him into a chat bot. You want to ask your dead father questions? Put him in a chat bot. Ray Kurzweil, they asked him, is there a God? Not yet. We're working on him. Remember that broadcast I did all those years ago? The Google Gospel, I did a couple of them. Oops, hang on. I'll show you. Here it is. The Google Gospel. Singularity, Satan's Gospel, reloaded. Here's another one. Google Gods, the Fourth Kingdom and Silicon Valley's Quest for Immortality. Remember that? 2017? Holy buckets, that thing's 190 minutes. It's like a Chris Pinto documentary. 1,460 downloads, though. Somebody was listening, weren't they? The Google Gods. Ray Kurzweil says, not yet. We're building him, though. We're working on it. That was 6 years ago. Can you believe it? 6 years ago. But there it is. Watch it. It's still relevant, isn't it, Carl? Still relevant today. Still there today. So, how far have we come now? Well, we got a month ago we had chatbots that were invented, complete chatbots that were historical figures. Oh, you want to know how to be a serial killer? Just type in David Koresh. You want to know how to run a cult? Just type in Satan. Get in the mind of psychopaths? Go ahead. You want to resurrect something? I wonder how long this one is.
Amar Reshi asked a computer program to write a book.
I think it was write a children's book about a young girl who creates her own AI.
And in a weekend, Alice and Sparkle was finished.
Well, Sparkle was a magical AI that Alice created. Wow.
ChatGPT is technology accessible and free to anyone on the web that impersonates what it's read on the internet. Type in a request and it can write legal documents, software, even school essays. People are predicting it will wipe out whole industries.
Attorneys, realtors, are we going to be out of a job?
But ChatGPT as an AI system may pose ethical risks to users who are unaware of how the technology works.
It in no way is reflecting the depths of human understanding or human intelligence. What it's really good at doing is mimicking its form.
In fact, remember what I said earlier?
But ChatGPT as...
Well, I asked ChatGPT to write that line for me.
Users who are...
Then I asked for a knock-knock joke.
Knock-knock, who's there? ChatGPT. ChatGPT who? ChatGPT, careful, you might not know how it works.
What parts of our society could this change?
The valuing of work, of human creativity. There are concerns around deception and potential uses for fraud. But I think that that's sort of only the tip of the iceberg here.
The company that makes ChatGPT, OpenAI, was co-founded by Elon Musk and is now primarily backed by Microsoft. The company declined our request for an interview. The kids Amar made the book for seemed to like it. But writers and illustrators on social media did not.
There are some super valid concerns from these artists.
After all, ChatGPT could wipe out his job, too.
Literally my line of work. You know, apps, design work, product design work.
And now he wants someone to solve this problem.
What are mechanisms we can still compensate artists?
That's the lesson to you here.
That's definitely the lesson.
Jake Ward, NBC News, San Francisco. Billy Moon.
Okay, so... right there, what they're saying is that the deception. Now, I want you to think about the deception here, okay? Let me look at something here. I'm trying to remember something. Hold on one second. Give me a sec. Oh, I think I have it over here. Let's see. Is this it? Nope, that's not it. We're going to get to the Bible version issue because that's scary enough. Okay, that's another one. Remember, these are the gods, the AI gods. That's not the one I'm looking for. That's not the one. Nope, that's not the one. Hang on. This one. Check this out. All right. So, you know, if the Antichrist is going to wipe out a preacher or attempt to wipe out a pastor, attempt to wipe out a preacher or anything else, all that they're going to do is mimic them and make them say something that they don't even believe. These AI chatbots can mimic you. Within seconds, 3 seconds of hearing your audio, they can mimic you and make you look like you said something or did something. This takes deep fake to a whole new level. Whole new level. So we know all the Catholic Church used to lie about Protestants and Baptists and Anabaptists and Lollards and all these others all the way back, right? They would lie about them. They would discredit them, right? And make things up about them. Well, this thing can mimic your voice. Watch.
Good evening, fellow Americans. I'm Steve Hilton, and I'm here tonight to talk to you about the threat to jobs from artificial intelligence. First, let me address the elephant in the room. Yes, there is a threat to jobs from artificial intelligence, but if we're honest, there are also many opportunities. AI is not something to be feared, but something that could be used to our advantage. Think about it. AI will automate many of the mundane tasks we have to do every day. This will free us up to focus on more creative and meaningful work. We can use the technology to drive innovation and create new products, services, and jobs. We should also use AI to improve our education system. AI can help us to customize learning experiences and personalize instruction so every student can reach their full potential. At the same time, we must ensure that no one is left behind. We must ensure that those who are displaced by AI are provided with the training and support they need to find new jobs and new opportunities. This is a real concern for the millions of Americans who rely on their job for their livelihood. But it's not just about the potential for job losses. It's also about the potential for job displacement. We could see jobs move from one sector to another in order to accommodate new technology. The key to navigating this brave new world is education. We need to ensure that work...
Did you hear what he said? The key to this, to navigate this brave new world. Did you hear that? They're not hiding it, are they? Nope. They're not trying to hide it, are they? Bunch of devils. They're a bunch of devils is what they are. They're a bunch of devil-possessed people. They're not trying to hide it.
Workers have the skills and knowledge to compete in a future where AI is commonplace. Only then can we ensure that the promise of AI is realized without leaving too many people behind. So, let's embrace artificial intelligence, but let's also make sure we do it responsibly. That's the only way we can truly benefit from the opportunities it provides. Okay, so every word of what you just heard was written by ChatGPT, an artificial intelligence program that can do everything from write poems to creating scripts.
So do you see how you don't know what's real or what's fake on there? All of that was written by him. By a chatbot. None of that was written by him.
In the style of anyone, including me. Now, I thought the good evening, my fellow Americans, was perhaps a little bit too presidential. Otherwise, I thought it was pretty good, maybe too good. But honestly, it's a really big deal. For any profession that involves writing for kids in school and students in college, AI really is the next revolution. We all need to understand it.
Okay, so he says we all need to understand it, right? AI is the next revolution. Okay, so what are they saying? It's a god. I mean, you just type it in there and this god tells you everything you need to say, writes a script for you. Does everything that you need to say or that you need to do. Right? How about another one? Let me give you another one. That's not it. Here it is. I put in the title about aliens. I want you to look at this. Because AI is going to find you some aliens. AI is going to find life out there. Right? It's going to find life out there. Will an AI be the first to discover alien life? Are you understanding what they're doing here with this? They're turning AI into gods. They're the gods. And the gods, you're not going to have to do anything. They're going to do it for you. There's E.T., remember him? From the hills of West Virginia to the flats of rural Australia, some of the world's largest telescopes are listening for signals from distant alien civilizations. The search for extraterrestrial intelligence, known as SETI. Is an effort to find artificial-looking electromagnetic radiation signals that might have come from a technologically advanced civilization in faraway solar systems. A study published today describes one of several efforts to use machine learning, a subset of artificial intelligence, to help astronomers sift quickly through the reams of data which surveys yield as AI reshapes many scientific fields. What promise does it hold for the search of life beyond Earth? It is a new era for SETI research that is opening up thanks to machine learning technology, says Franck Marquis, a planetary astronomer at the SETI Institute in Mountain View, California. The problem of big data is relatively new for SETI. For decades, the field was constrained by having hardly any data at all. Astronomer Frank Drake pioneered SETI in 1960 when he pointed a telescope in Green Bank, West Virginia, towards two stars and listened for radio transmissions. But in 2015, billionaire Yuri Milner funded the biggest SETI program ever in Berkeley, California. Well, there you go, huh? Berkeley, California. Where Timothy Leary and the CIA and all these other operatives were involved with breaking on through to the other side. You got your connections with Aleister Crowley. You got your connections with all these people. All these, the occult. So they're going to use AI to contact the demons. Contact the devils, the aliens. See what they're doing? That's what they're doing. They're gonna make first contacts for you. Using telescopes in West Virginia, Australia, and South Africa, the project looks for radio emissions that come from the direction of a star and that change steadily in frequency as would happen if an alien transmitter were on a planet moving with respect to Earth. Well, yeah, the doors break on through to the other side, doors of perception. Aldous Huxley. Right. That's definitely where it is, friend. This is the work that they're doing. That's exactly what they're doing. That's the game that they're playing. They're contacting devils. What they do. Okay. The trouble is that these searches yield a blizzard of data, including false positives produced by earthly interference from mobile phones, GPS, and other aspects of modern life. The biggest challenge for us in looking for SETI signals is not at this point getting the data, says Sophia Sheikh, an astronomer at the SETI Institute. The difficult part is differentiating signals from human on Earth technology or Earth technology from the kind of signals we look. You know what's amazing to me? You're looking for one signal of life on another planet. Yet you can't even figure out that the baby, the heartbeat in a woman's womb is a baby, is a child, is a life. But you're looking for some electromagnetic signal in space, but you'll murder life right here, you bunch of sick, devil-possessed perverts. Think about that. Looking for the smallest bit of life out there. You can tell the whole movement is demonic. You're looking for life out there, the simplest electromagnetic signal. Yet you have life in a mother's womb, a baby. Kind of odd, isn't it? Sure is. Very odd. But it is what it is, isn't it? It's demonic. It's the forces of hell. This is what they do. This is who they are. They're building the beast. Going through millions of observations manually isn't practical. A common alternative approach is to use algorithms that look for signals matching what astronomers think alien beacons could look like. Remember, they're going to get their own delusion. What are these times marked with? Delusion. What are the end times marked with? Not miracles of God, not signs and wonders of God, but delusion, deception. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. They all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Right? That's who they are. Enter machine learning. Algorithms are trained on large amounts of data and can learn to recognize features that are characteristic of earthly interference, making them very good filtering out the noise. Machine learning is also good at picking up candidate extraterrestrial signals that don't fall. Wait, Peter Ma, a mathematician and physicist at the University of Toronto, Canada, and lead author of today's paper agrees, we can't always be anticipating what ET might send to us, he says. Yeah. What are they going to send to us? See, they're looking for the signals. AI's going to help you talk to aliens. Right? AI is going to help you talk to aliens. Isn't that great? And we know from the Bible what aliens are. They're devils. That's what aliens are. They're devils. But they are. And AI can help with other stages of the SETI project, Wertheimer and his colleagues said. Machine learning is also at the heart of separate SETI efforts that will launch next month. On February 14th, on Valentine's Day of all things, right? Astronomers at the University of California, UCLA, will launch a community science project in which volunteers from the public will sort through images of radio signals and classify them as potential types of interference, to train a machine learning algorithm to search SETI data from Green Bank. Yeah. That's the goal, ain't it? To give these people exactly what they want. Right? And give them exactly what they want. So here it is. The machines can do it all. Can't do it all yet, agrees Wertheimer. Yet. Sounds like the statement, right? Can't do it all yet. What does that sound like? The statement of Ray Kurzweil. Is there a God? He said, not yet. We sure are working on him, though. Not yet. What? Let's see what the Pope has to say. See, what some people may look at right here when they see this picture is that the Pope, now I want to remind you of something. Elon Musk, who started that AI bot program right there, Elon Musk also visited the Pope with his sons not long ago. Okay. Now, Francis made a deal with Google. And everybody said, well, that sounds good because Francis sounds like he's looking out for us. No, Francis is given the cover. Francis is given the cover for Google to run the beat system that controls the world. So, wait a minute, you actually believe the Pope is the Antichrist, the vicar of Christ instead of Christ, stands in the place of Christ? Yeah, but he also says he is too. And 1.1 billion Catholics follow him. Or more. And Donnie Trump filled his coffers up a few months ago, paying off $3.1 billion. About a year or two ago, two years ago. Oh, what's this guy doing up here? Well, these Jewish guys right here are in subjection to the Pope right here. So is this Arabian guy right here. So is Shiki here. Shiki buddy here. Shiki ain't afraid. Shiki's working for the Pope. And this old boy right here is working with the Pope. Working for the Pope. This is the man of sin. This is the papal Caesar. This is the granddaddy of them all, devils. He's in charge. He is large and in charge. That's why he walks around in white while everybody else is walking around in black. He's in charge. He's the man with the plan. He's that succession of the man of sin, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped. Okay. What's he have to do with all this chatbot stuff anyway? Where's that guy? He ain't got nothing to do with that. He's just some silly old man up there. He don't have no power. What's the matter with you anyway? Or in the words of T.D. Jakes, what's the matter with you? What's the matter with you? Okay, this Jesuit Pope. AI ethics must safeguard the good of human family. Now, this coming from a raging pervert that runs the biggest sex ring in the world. The biggest trafficking ring in the world. That guy. Not to be confused with that guy. That guy's a different guy. Okay? Pope Francis received signatories of the Rome call for AI ethics promoted by the Pontifical Academy for Life and Renaissance Foundation. And applauds their efforts to safeguard the good of the human family, promote shared ethics, and fraternity among all. and be vigilant against misuses of technology and artificial intelligence. While warning against misuse of technology and AI, Pope Francis has encouraged using these tools in a way that safeguards the human family and promote the common good. Oh, thank you, Mr. Communist. Receiving the signatories of the Rome Call for AI Ethics in the Vatican on Tuesday morning, the Pope thanked the Pontifical Academy for Life and to the Renaissance Foundation for their commitment in promoting through the Rome Call Initiative a shared ethics regarding the great challenges that lie ahead on the horizon of artificial intelligence. The Call for AI Ethics is a document that was signed by the Pontifical Academy for Life, Microsoft, IBM, FAO, and the Ministry of Innovation, a part of the Italian government in Rome on February 28, 2020, to promote an ethical approach to artificial intelligence. Now, who even believes that that's real? Who even trusts the Pope for that? The idea behind it was to promote a sense of shared responsibility among the international organizations, governments, institutions, and private sector in an effort to create a future in which digital innovation and technological progress grant mankind its centrality. Pointing to the new Al Gore ethics, the signatories committed to request the development of an artificial intelligence that serves every person and humanity as a whole, that respects the dignity of the human person so that every individual can benefit from the advances of technology, and that does not have as its sole greater profit or the gradual replacement of people in the workplace. Aha! In this morning's audience, the Pope thanked the participants and expressed delight in seeking new involvement of Jewish and Islamic delegations. Your concordance in promoting a culture that places this technology at the service of the common good of all and the care and the common home is exemplary for many others. Fraternity among all, he underscored, is the condition for technology development also to be at the service of justice and peace everywhere. Justice and peace, hope and change and hope and justice and peace. The Pope recognized that artificial intelligence is increasingly present in every aspect of daily life, affecting the way we understand the world and ourselves, and encouraged them to continue in this endeavor. He encouraged Al Gore ethics, not Al Gore like Al Gore the crook that's making money off global warming, not that guy, but Al Gore. That is ethical reflection on the use of algorithms to be increasingly present not only in the public debate, but also in the development of technological solutions. Every person, in fact, must be able to enjoy human and supportive development without anyone being excluded. We must therefore be vigilant and work to ensure that the discriminatory use of these instruments does not take root at the expense of the most fragile and excluded. Boy, he sounds real nice, doesn't he? Let us remember, the Pope said, that the way we treat the last and least among our brothers and sisters tells us the value we recognize in human beings. The Rome Call, Pope Francis noted, can be a useful tool for a common dialogue among all in order to foster a human development of all new technologies. Look what he says. Pope Francis invoked upon them God's blessing and asked them for their prayers. May the Virgin Mary assist you and may my blessing accompany you. Aha! So the Virgin Mary is going to bless the Islamic Imam and the Jewish Kabbalist. Well, his blessing, him being the male, her blessing being the goddess, the divine goddess, the Virgin Mary, which is not Mary, but is Semiramis, which is Dirty Diana of the Ephesians, which is Wonder Woman, which is the Statue of Liberty. Right? And they all just get along so well together. The Kabbalist. the Freemason Sheikh, Islamic Sheikh. Probably the Kabbalist and Freemason Jewish man there. And obviously El Papa himself. El Papa. Get that AI working, he says. And we must get it working for the common good. Okay? That little pointy thing on the top of his head. The Pope, who I naturally call El Papa or the Poop. He is the Poop. He is who we call the Poop. Okay. So if that wasn't concerning enough, so El Papa sits on the top of it all, signing deals with Google, signing deals with all these other groups. Elon Musk visited him, gets his blessing from El Papa. Well, now we come to some strange things. Researchers use data from the Bible to develop AI-based text translations. So, how would you like for the version of your Bible, how would you like to have a translation by AI? Because now the AI gods are translating Bibles. Without the power of the Holy Ghost of God, I'm sure they will use the oldest and best manuscripts, and they will translate your Bible for you. So they'll take a Greek text, a Hebrew text, a Latin text, and they will translate it for you. That's not concerning at all, is it? So you'll be AI only. Oh, me? I'm not King James only, I'm AI only. I only take my Bible from the AI. After all, it comes from the best computer programs known to man. It comes from the best algorithms known to man. Right? Hey, how come Leno Paul's stalking around on Instagram, Carl, and he's not on here with us? What's going on with Leno? So there's going to be people that are AI only, right? They're going to be following the AI version. Well, how in the world is AI going to translate my Bible? Well, they're not translating mine. Mine's already been translated. Using data from the Bible, which one is the Bible? See, when I stand up and I say to you, I'm teaching you from the Bible. That's the King James Bible. I don't have any other Bible. This is the imperfect, inspired, infallible word of God. This is my Bible. What are they talking about when they say using data from the Bible? Which Bible? A team from Dartmouth College developed an algorithm trained on various versions of the sacred text that can convert written works into different styles for different audiences. Besides being a source of spiritual guidance for many people around the globe, the Bible can also help improve computer-based text translators, researchers say. Using data from the Bible, a team from Dartmouth College, New Hampshire, in the U.S. developed an algorithm trained on various versions of the sacred text. The team saw in the Bible a large, previously untapped data set of aligned parallel texts. The English language Bible comes in many different written styles, making it a perfect source of text to work with for style translation, said lead author Keith Carlson, a doctoral student at Dartmouth. According to the study published in the Journal of Royal Society Open Science, this is not the first parallel data set created for style translation, but it is the first that uses the Bible. Beyond providing infinite inspiration, each version of the Bible contains more than 31,000 verses that the researchers used to produce over 1.5 million unique pairings of source and target verses for machine learning training sets. Let's see. It is already thoroughly indexed by the consistent use of book, chapter, and verse numbers. The predictable organization of the text across versions eliminates the risk of alignment errors that could be caused by automatic methods of matching different versions of the same text, the research noted. The Bible is a divine data set to work with to study this text, said Daniel Rockmore, professor of computer science at Dartmouth. The team used 34 stylistic distinct Bible versions, ranging in linguistic complexity from the King James Version to the Bible in Basic English. Wow. 34 different Bible versions, huh? AI will tell you which one is right. They'll just mix them all up together. Isn't that great? AI is going to correct your Bible for you. It's going to make sure you got the right one. So some computer program somewhere is going to give you the words of God. The texts were fed into two algorithms, a statistical machine translation system called MOSES and a neural network framework commonly used in machine translation. Other texts that have been used in the past, ranging from Shakespeare to Wikipedia entries, provide data sets that are either much smaller or not as well suited for the task of learning style translation. Humans have been performing the task of organizing Bible texts for centuries, so we don't have to put our faith into less reliable alignment algorithms, Rockmore said. Follow the HT Tech for the latest tech view news. Oh. Now you can follow the really good Bible algorithms. The AI gods see if I could find. I remember. Let's see if I can find this. I think it's right here. Give me a second. Let's see. Okay, here we go. This is what I wanted to show you. So Pastor David Peterman, a friend of mine, he said he couldn't sleep. So he typed into this chat open AI bot, write an exegetical message on 2 Kings 23:15 through 20. This is, and he was, obviously he's playing, he's not using it. But this is what it spit out. The artificial intelligence, a mechanized without the Spirit of God, without the communion and witness bearing of the Spirit of man, exegesis of the passage. Think on that while we still can. This is what it spit out. In 2 Kings 23:15 through 20 describes the reforms of King Josiah of Judah, who was known for his commitment to following the commandments of the Lord. In these verses, Josiah is described as having removed the idolatrous articles and images from the temple in Jerusalem and destroying them. He also commanded the priests to observe the regulations and laws prescribed in the book of the law that was discovered in the temple during renovations. This passage highlights the importance of purging idolatry and following the Lord's commands in order to maintain a relationship with God. Josiah's reforms serve as a reminder of the consequences of turning away from God and the need for constant repentance and renewal in our faith. Additionally, the discovery of the book of the law is significant as it shows the Lord's faithfulness in preserving his word, even during times of great spiritual decay. It also serves as a call to continually seek and study the word of God in order to deepen our understanding of his will and his ways. In conclusion, 2 Kings 23:15 through 20 highlights the need for purifying our worship, obeying God's commands, and seeking his word in order to maintain a right relationship with him. May we follow Josiah's example and strive for spiritual renewal in our own lives. That's AI, friend. That's AI. He just spoke into AI like that. And that AI gave him that information. That AI is what taught, that's a sermon outline that AI did. Do you understand that? That's a sermon outline. That AI did. Think about that. You think about that for a second. That is a sermon outline. Now, you can get that from a book. I mean, I study outlines. I read Spurgeon sermons. I copy and paste things from all kinds of men. I borrow brains from all kinds of men. And that's what this does. But it does it without any feeling, any emotions, no power of the Spirit of God, no guidance. See that? Pretty amazing, isn't it, really? Pretty amazing. That's the direction that we're heading. These are the AI gods. They'll give you your Bible version. How about this one? You want to see another one? Look at this one. The AI gods. They can find aliens for you. They can write your Bible for you. They can interpret your Bible for you. They can write sermon notes for you. Look at this one. New AI technology can instantly determine whether a person is above the legal alcohol limit by analyzing a 12-second clip of their voice. It's a god. It's going to tell you by your voice. It's going to computer analyze your voice. La Trobe University researchers have developed an artificial and AI algorithm that could work alongside expensive and potentially biased breath testing devices in pubs and clubs. The technology can instantly determine whether a person has exceeded the legal alcohol limit purely on using a 12-second recording of their voice. In a paper published in the journal Alcohol, the study led by PhD student Abraham Albert Bonella and supervised by Professor Emmanuel Kunch and Associate Professor Zen He from the Center for Alcohol Policy Research and the Department of Computer Science and Information Technology at La Trobe University. They described this audio-based deep learning algorithm to identify inebriation that can determine an individual's intoxication status based on a 12-second recording of their speech. According to Albert Bonella, acute alcohol intoxication impairs cognitive and psychomotor motor abilities, leading to various public health hazards, such as road traffic accidents and alcohol-related violence. Intoxicated individuals are usually identified by measuring their blood alcohol concentration using breathalyzers that are expensive and labor-intensive, Albert Bonella said. The algorithm was developed and tested against using a database data set of 12,360 audio clips of inebriated and sober speakers. According to the research, the ad layout was able to identify inebriated speakers with BAC of 0.05 or higher with an accuracy of almost 70%. The algorithm had a higher performance of almost 76% in identifying intoxicated speakers with a BAC of higher than 0.12. The research suggests that one potential future application of it would be the integration into mobile applications and be used in environments such as bars and sports stadiums to get instantaneous results about inebriation. So in other words, if they're drunk, we'll find out just by listening to their voice. Cheaper than a breathalyzer test. Upon a further improvement in its overall performance, AdLAI could be integrated into mobile application and used as a preliminary tool for identifying alcohol. Amen. Look at that. We're gonna test you. Isn't that something? So AI is gonna listen to your voice and tell you whether you're drunk or not. It's a god. Humans, by the way, one of the things that God tells humans to have is discernment, his people, to discern the times, to have wisdom and discernment. Not with AI. With AI, all you're going to have to do with AI is just speak to it. It's going to discern everything for you. It's going to run every program for you. It's going to do it all for you. It's going to be a god. That's what it's going to do. AI is just going to be a god. It is a god now. It's going to translate your Bible for you. It's going to write your sermons for you. It's going to be able to tell people whether you're drunk or not. The Wycliffe Bible translators talk about God is taking these types of tools and using them to accelerate the work of Bible translation, dramatically impacting communities around the world. Coupled with Elon Musk's Starlink satellites. Look at that. They're going to translate the Bible into sign language and into other languages. You're going to be able to speak into this thing. You're not going to have to learn the language. Because like Google Translate, you'll just be able to speak into it. And you'll get everything you need out of it. Right? You'll be able to do it all. We talked about that, didn't we? We talked about the Pope. We talked about this chatbot, right? How about this one? AI is going to be a god that's going to predict artificial intelligence. Artificial intelligence is going to predict whether a mass shooting is going to take place. A string of six mass shootings in California over less than 2 weeks, which left 30 dead and 19 injured, has reignited calls that the U.S. addressed gun violence. President Biden early this month pushed for a nationwide ban on assault rifles, while Republicans who oppose such a measure have remained largely silent in the aftermath of the attacks. Republicans have called for improved mental health services. By the way, which is another trap, because AI is just going to say you're crazy and take your guns away. That's what the Republicans want to do. The Democrats want to take your guns away through just banning them. The Republicans want to make everybody crazy, label everybody crazy, and take their guns through mental health. What are they doing? Duh! They're both working for the same team. They're both going to do the same thing to you. Why do you think they bring back all these soldiers? And when they bring all the soldiers back, they bring them back and then they get them on psychotropics so they can take their guns away. Right? The congressional gridlock and apparent ineffectiveness of California's robust state gun laws have left people searching for alternatives. One relatively new potential solution, the use of artificial intelligence-enhanced security, has drawn interest for its promise of apprehending shooters before a shot is fired. The AI security industry touts cameras that identify suspects loitering outside of a school with weapons, high-tech metal detectors that spot hidden guns, and predictive algorithms that analyze information to flag a potential mass shooter. Company officials behind the development of the AI-boosted security cameras say the technology corrects for fallible security guards. Oh, so they're claiming infallibility. They're saying AI is infallible. Do you see that? It's their god. It's infallible. Infallible AI. Company officials behind the development of the AI-boosted security cameras say the technology corrects for fallible security officers, who they said often struggle to monitor multiple video feeds and suss out emerging threats. Instead, the company officials say AI reliably identifies assailants and they're ready for an attack, saving security officials precious minutes for seconds and possibly saving lives. This is the best kept secret, Sam Alamo, co-founder of AI security company called Zero Eyes, told ABC News. If there's an assault rifle outside of a school, people want to know more information. If one life is saved, that's a victory. Critics, however, question the effectiveness of the products, saying companies have failed to provide independently verified data about accuracy. Even if AI works effectively, they add the technology raises major concerns over privacy, infringement, and potential discrimination. If you're going to trade your privacy and freedom for security, the first question you need to ask is, are you getting a good deal? Good question. Good question. As schools, retailers, and offices consider adopting AI security, the industry is poised for growth. The market for products that detect concealed weapons is expected to nearly double, from $630 million in 2022 to $1.2 billion by 2031. The optimism owes it in part to the increased prevalence of security cameras, allowing AI companies to sell software that enhances the systems already in use in buildings. As of 2017 and 18 school year, 83% of public schools said they used security cameras found. The figure marked a significant uptick from the 1999-2000 school year when just 19% of schools were equipped with security cameras. In other words, AI is going to be watching you. Skyla, an Austin, Texas-based company launched in 2017, offers AI that aids security cameras in not only detecting concealed weapons, but also suspicious activity, such as efforts to circumvent security or start a fight. When the fully automated system identifies a weapon or suspicious actor, it notifies officials at a school or business, he said, noting that mass shooters often draw their gun prior to entering a facility. The system can also be set to immediately deny access and lock doors. At a time when every second counts, it's quite possible that it would have a heavy impact, Greiner said. The company has just reformed about 300 installations across 33 countries. How about that, 33? 3-3-3! What's up with that, Carl? 3-3-3! Allow clients' institutions to overcome the common shortcomings of security officers, he added. Imagine a human sitting in a command center watching a video wall. The human can only watch 4 or 5 cameras or 4 or 5 minutes before he starts missing things, Greiner said. There's no limit to what AI can watch. Another AI security company, Zero Eyes, offers similar AI-enhanced video monitoring, but a narrow purpose. The beast is watching. The beast is watching everywhere. In a majority of cases, the shooter has a gun exposed before squeezing the trigger, Alamai said. He wanted to get an image of that gun and alert first responders with it. As with Skyla's product, Zero Eyes, AI tracks live video feeds and sends an alert when it detects a gun. However, the alert at Zero Eyes goes to an internal control room where company employees determine whether the situation poses a real threat. We have a human in the loop to make sure the client never gets a false positive. Yeah, great. Blows your head off. That guy's got a gun, says AI. Boom, boom, boom. Well, there he goes. open it up. What did he have in there? He had a Slim Jim in his pocket. AI-enhanced security sounds like a potentially life-saving breakthrough in theory, but the accuracy of the product remains uncertain, said Stanley of the ACLU. If it isn't effective, there's no need to get into a conversation about privacy and security. He said the conversation should be over. Griner of Skyla said the company's AI 99.9% accurate with a whole lot of nines in identifying weapons such as guns. But he did not say how accurate the system is in identifying suspicious activity. It said the company has not undergone independent verification of their systems. For us to search for a third party to do it, we haven't done that yet. Alamo of Zero Eyes said the company's use of employee verification as part of its alert process allows for the elimination of false positives, but he declined to say how often AI systems present employees with false positives or whether employees make mistakes. Transparency is key because if communities are going to try to make hopefully democratic decisions about whether or not they want these technologies in the public place, they need to know whether it's worth it. Setting aside the efficacy of the systems, critics have raised concerns over privacy infringements as well as potentially discrimination enabled by AI. To start, more than 30 states allow people to openly carry handguns, leaving such people as potential targets of AI-enhanced security. Duh. Carrying a gun is lawful in most places in the country. A law professor at New York University who studies AI ethics told ABC News, it's very hard to know what you're going to search for in a way that doesn't impinge on people's rights. At Zero AI, the AI sends out a non-lethal alert to clients in cases where individuals lawfully holding a gun. But you don't have human discernment with that. Noting additional privacy concerns, Stanley said security officials never watch the vast majority of surveillance footage currently recorded unless a possible crime has taken place. With AI, however, an algorithm scans every minute minute of available footage, and in some cases watches for activity deemed suspicious or unusual. That's pretty spooky, Stanley said. In light of the radical discrimination found in assessments made by facial recognition systems, Stanley cautioned that AI could suffer from the same issue. The problem risks replicating inequity in the wider criminal justice system. So there you go. That's AI. It's going to be a god. It's going to tell you. It's going to predict people's behavior. It is predicting people's behavior. That's dangerous, friend. That's the AI gods. That's where we're at, and that's where we're headed, friend. All right, if you want to say hi on Rumble, if you want to say hi on the chat on Rumble, go right ahead. If you want to say hi on Facebook Live's chat, go ahead. If you're over on Sermon Audio, thanks for listening. I'm glad you're there too as well. Okay. See, a total of 22 of you were over there, 13 live, which is good for sure. Let's listen to a song here. I don't know what this one is. Let's see what it is here.
I was clothed in the rags of my sin. I was wretched and poor, lost and lonely within. But with wondrous compassion, the King of all kings, in pity and in love, took me under his wing. Oh yes, oh yes, when I'm a child of the King, and his royal blood is now flowing in my veins, and I, who was so wretched and poor, I now can sing, oh, praise God, praise God, I'm a a child, oh, with a heavenly home. And my Holy Father has made me His own, and I'm cleansed by His blood, and I'm clothed in His precious love, and someday I'll sing with the angels above. Oh yes, I'm a child of the King, and His royal blood, it now flows in my veins, and I, who was so wretched and poor, I now can sing, oh, praise God, praise God. I'm a child of the King, and I, who was so wretched and poor, I now can sing, oh, praise God, praise God. I'm a child.
Amen. That was Chris Stanzel. I'm a child of the King. Very good song. And yes, my wife posted a comment on the chat there about a lady that was celebrating 15 years of being saved. And I know because she was saved in our ministry when we first started 15 years ago on February 3rd, she was saved by the grace of God. I was preaching the gospel in the message, in the morning message, and Carrie, Lee's wife, she was saved and came forward and trusted Christ as her Savior. I'll never forget it. And she was really the first convert that we ever had. And it's just absolutely amazing to see God's hand on their life, you know, six children later, and just serving the Lord in all humility and faithfulness to God, and watching the Lord use her life and her godly testimony, and what a blessing that she is to us, and all that the Lord has done in her life. It's pretty amazing to see that for sure, and to see God's hand on her life. Anyway, if you want to say hi again, we're going to play another song here. We're going to play one from Chris Stanzel, and let's play What's Wrong with the Old Black Book.
What's wrong with the old black book my daddy used to read from? Is it so outdated by modern translation? Revised standards and good news are everywhere I look. Oh, won't somebody tell me what's wrong with the old black book?
People who know not my God just cannot understand the spiritual inspired word of God not given by some man. They've all agreed by joining hands in a worldwide movement to change that blessed old black book and set out to improve it.
What's wrong with the old black book my daddy used to read from? Is it so outdated by modern translation? Revised standards and good news are everywhere I look.
Oh, won't somebody tell me what's wrong with the old black book?
Revised standards.
Jesus said, I am the shepherd, my sheep follow me. As the voice of the stranger speaks, they shall turn and flee. The words my daddy used to read, I've learned to love so dear. But all these other words I hear, strangers to my ear. What's wrong with the old black book my daddy used to read from? Is it so outdated by modern translations? Revised standards and good news are everywhere I go. So won't somebody tell me what's wrong with the old black book?
Well, the enemy is much too smart to jump right in and say, just forget all that you have learned of God, 'cause it's not true anyway. And they're making plans in years to come to take God from our minds. by giving us new Bibles, changed a little bit each time. What's wrong with the old black book my daddy used to read from? Is it so outdated by modern translation? Revised standard and good news are everywhere I look. So won't somebody tell me what's wrong with the old black book? What's wrong with the old black book my daddy used to read from? It is so outdated by modern translation. Revised standard and good news are everywhere I look. So won't somebody tell me what's wrong with the old black book? Oh, won't somebody tell me? There's no one who can tell me what's wrong with the old King James, King James.
Amen, amen. All right, praise the Lord. Nothing wrong with the old King James. Amen, it's perfect. Infallible, inspired, the words of the living God. All right. One more song, and then we'll get out of here. How about we listen to, let me see. Here. I like this one, Victory Through Grace.
Conquering now and still to conquer, rideth a king in his might, leading the host of all the faithful into the midst of the fight. See them with courage advancing, clad in their brilliant array, shouting the name of their leader, hear them exultingly say, not to the strong is the battle, not to the swift is the race, yet to the true and the faithful, victory is promised through grace. Conquering now and still to conquer, who is this wonderful team? Whence are the armies which he leadeth, while of his glory they sing? He is our Lord and Redeemer, Savior and Monarch. They are the stars that forever, bright in his kingdom, will shine. Conquering now and still to conquer, Jesus, thou ruler of all. Thrones and their scepters all shall perish, crowns and their splendor shall. The strong is the battle, not to the swift is the race, yet to the true and the faithful, victory is promised through grace. Not to the strong is the battle, not to the swift is the race, yet to the true.
Amen and amen. All right, everybody, pray for us. And you pray for our ministry. We are going out preaching. Today when I woke up, it was like negative 30 with the wind chill. It was nasty. Still nasty. But, tomorrow it's supposed to be up to 32 degrees. And we're praising the Lord for a heat wave. And we're going out preaching tomorrow night. Lord willing, we are going to preach at the event, the night with the Winter Carnival nighttime parade, where all the ghouls and goblins will be out and everything else. I know it's weird, but that's what they do. They celebrate all that nasty stuff, and we're going to be out there preaching the gospel and tracting the entire event. Please pray for us. Pray for safety. Pray for the Lord to save sinners. Pray for hearts to be open to the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Pray for us to be good witnesses. All right. Pray God would save sinners and speak to their hearts. Now, so pray for that. Okay. And again, pray for that trip to Europe that I told you about, that I believe the Lord would have me to go on and to preach over there, and possibly in May for a few weeks. Pray for us about that. Pray for me about that, that the Lord would give wisdom and guidance. And I'll have more to talk to you about in the future about that. Okay. But anyway, if you want to give to our ministry, you may PayPal us at salvationpreacher@gmail.com. Or you can mail something to us at the bottom of the screen. This is our address, 1030 South Highway 3, Northfield, Minnesota, 55057. If you'd like to do Venmo, if you'd like to do PayPal, if you'd like to do Cash App, if you'd like to do Bitcoin, all those other things, cryptocurrency, whatever the case may be, you may do that. And if you'd like to donate to that trip that I'll be taking, Lord willing, then earmark it for that. Let me know that's what it's for so I can put it to the side for that. But definitely pray for us, because we could use all the prayers that we can get. But I hope we will broadcast live tomorrow out on the streets, Lord willing. So you pray for us that all would go well with that. All right. And we'll be broadcasting live tomorrow night out there on the streets. It'll be 30 degrees, so our equipment shouldn't freeze. Praise the Lord. Anyway, all right, everybody. God bless you all. To everybody on Rumble, thank you for being on Rumble. There was like 26 or 28 of you on there today. That's a blessing. Good to have you all on there. Hit the like button, you know, if you would, on Rumble. Get those likes up there and all that good stuff, okay? And thank you for listening on Sermon Audio. There was like, 24 of you on Sermon Audio, it looks like. So that was a blessing. And then there was like 10 on Facebook Live. So we appreciate that. And just continue to be faithful. And, pray for us. We appreciate it. All right, everybody. God bless you. You have a good night. Take care of yourselves, and we will see you very soon. Somebody asked, what time will we be on tomorrow? I don't know for sure. It'll probably be around 5 p.m. Central, I'm guessing. Somewhere around 5 p.m. Central is what I would say.